when I walked around Israel, I was just struck with so many different things. It's not my first time there. It's actually my sixth time there. But every time I go, I'm just struck by it. I'm just in awe. It is just so different than America. First of all, it's just, you are just so in touch with ancient history, right? So around here, if something's 100 years old, 200 years old, that's ancient history, right? You probably have a little souvenir shop set up and whatever. In Israel, there are ruins lying around that are 1,000, 2,000 years old that they don't even bother excavating because there's so many more things of greater historical value lying around. We went to a beach swimming. There's a little peninsula there with ruins that must be at least from Crusader times. No big deal. No sign up telling you what it is or anything like that. You're just so in touch with history there. And it's a sign of God's faithfulness. It is an absolute sign of God's faithfulness that there is a continuous people. And I don't know what the DNA tests are showing here and there about how pure the Jewish bloodline is. It doesn't matter. Listen, Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, I went to synagogue. For those who don't know what Tisha B'Av is, it's the saddest day in the Jewish year. And that year, we commemorate the destruction of the first and second temples that occurred around that date. Perhaps both of them occurred on that date. And other tragedies throughout life. I went to the synagogue up on the hill in my parents' town. And the rabbi there, or the cantor there, I don't know which, chanted the Book of Lamentations in Hebrew. Okay, and we sat around on the floor and listened to him chanting in Hebrew the Book of Lamentations. And Marilyn does a beautiful job reading from the Torah portion every Shabbat. These are different tropes. These are sadder, mournful tropes. They still mourn the temple to this day in Israel as if it had just happened last week. There's such a connection there to history and to God's faithfulness. I just was struck by God's desire to pour out blessing upon blessing on the land. For us to take us from mourning. If you read Zechariah chapter 8, God promises that day of fasting, Tisha B'Av, as well as other fasting days of mourning, that they're going to be turned into days of feasting. God's desire to bless is just, it's all right on the cusp, right? And we've seen so many blessings, but the start has just begun, right? The start of those blessings has just, we've just had a little taste of it, really. Because he wants to do so much more. And he wants to pour out his spirit on Zion. He wants to open their eyes to the Messiah. He wants a worldwide revival to start in Jerusalem. I really believe that's what the scriptures teach. He wants to bless. Wants to bless. And I'm telling you, being back in my parents' home for about a month, I realized my parents are not perfect parents. There's no such thing. I'm not a perfect parent. But my parents love me and want every opportunity to show me that love, right? I wanted to help pay for groceries. They wouldn't let me pay for groceries. They, you know, woke up early one morning with my dad. He wanted to take me up to Har Shmuel, mountain near their home where you could just have this beautiful view of everything and see Jerusalem off in the distance, and the ruins up there are fascinating. Just everything was about loving Connor and I while we were there. And it was such a blessing to see that. And then when I get home, my wife picks me up and she's made sure that I have food in the car and just made sure that I'm taken care of when I get home. I'm just a recipient of so much love, right? I'm a recipient of love here at the synagogue. And I think because I have that, and because I had the upbringing I did, that it's easier for me than perhaps some others to understand God's character of love and blessing. And whether you had that kind of upbringing or not, you need to understand God's character of love and blessing. Okay? It was such a shock to my wife when we got married that I didn't know how to work a washing machine. My mom did all my laundry, put it in piles. And whether you show love that way to your children or you show love by making them do it themselves, which has been more of our philosophy, regardless, to receive that love, however parents show it, that is such an important, important job, because that opens up to your child an easier ability for them to receive the love of the Lord. And like I said, whether you had that upbringing or you didn't have that kind of upbringing, if your parents, maybe they didn't know how to show you love, or some adults just never grow out of childhood. That selfish childhood, it's about me, right? What's mom and dad going to do for me and things like that. Some parents, unfortunately, never grew out of that. Maybe you didn't receive it. You can receive it now. And you have to receive it now from the Lord in order for you to grow and to where he wants you to be. I'd like to read from today's Torah portion, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. It shall happen, because you listen to these ordinances and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the loving kindness which he swore to your fathers. He will love you. This is so unique. I don't know of any other ancient religion, or maybe even modern religion, where there's such an emphasis on that. The Lord will love you. Right? The Lord will love you. He wants to love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your livestock and the young of your flock, and the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You will be blessed above all peoples. There won't be male or female barren among you or among your livestock. The Lord will take away from you all sickness, and he will put none of all the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, on you, but will lay them on all those who hate you. The Lord's desire from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible is to bless. Even those portions that speak of God's judgment are so that people will turn and repent, and instead of receiving the wrath, they'll receive the blessing. Deuteronomy 8, 19 and 20, also from today's Torah portion. It shall be, if you shall forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. As the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you wouldn't listen to the Lord your God's voice. He's warning us. He's warning Israel, don't turn from me. I want to bless you, but if you turn from me, you're turning yourself from the one who blesses, and you're turning yourself to wrath. You're turning yourself to a place that is not protected in the Lord. You need to stay near me because I want to bless you. You need to stay in the vine, right? As we learn in John, we need to stay attached to him. He is our source of blessing. Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord God, and not rather that he should return from his way and live? You can read chapter after chapter of the Lord's judgment, the Lord's warning, the Lord's chastisement, and it's all about this verse here that says, I don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have pleasure in blessing. I have pleasure in loving. I want that person that is sinning to return from his way, to make teshuvah, to repent, and to live. That's what I want, says God. I don't want you going away from me. I want to bless. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, Yeshua says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He wants to bless so much that God takes on human flesh, that he might become our perfect sacrifice. That is the extent of God's desire to bless and to love us. And every word in the Bible is about that. Genesis chapter 1, God hovers lovingly over the waters to shine light into the darkness and to create order out of chaos. All the way through to the last chapter of Revelation about the new heavens and the new earth. God blessing us with that. That's a gift for us. The new heavens and the new earth is a gift for us. And He wants you there. And He wants me there. And the highlight of it all is now God's dwelling is with His people, right? That is how much He wants to bless. And if you cannot understand this, you will not grow spiritually. I don't care how many Bible verses you have memorized. I don't care how many hours a day you spend on your knees. You will not grow spiritually if you see a God who is just out to condemn and to punish. If that's all you see, you will not grow spiritually. I know people who know the Bible better than I do. Bible verses memorized here and there and so forth. And that's important stuff. That's important stuff. But there's something missing. And it's the love of the Lord, an understanding of the love of the Lord. And so without that, we are spiritually stagnant. We cannot grow. You need to understand and know the love of the Lord for you. He's not looking to bring you down. He's looking to raise you up. He's not looking to condemn you. He's looking to bless you. He's looking to give you life. And so we walk our lives and we have struggle after struggle and we wonder sometimes if God wants to bless, where is the blessing? Where is the blessing? And to that, I want to say two things. The first thing is this, is we have to be careful because sometimes sin will cut us off from the blessing of the Lord. We live in a day and an age where it is politically incorrect to talk about sin. We don't talk about sin. You're doing this, you're doing that, it's okay, I'm okay, you're okay kind of stuff. But sin can cut us off from the blessing of the Lord. Okay? Deuteronomy 11, 16 and 17. Be careful lest your heart be deceived and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. And the Lord's anger be kindled against you and He shut up the sky, so that there is no rain, and the land doesn't yield its fruit, and you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. So in the beginning of the Torah portion, we have God wants to bless, He wants to pour out the rains, right? He wants to make sure that there's a plentiful flocks and plentiful rain, and nobody barren and this and that. It can be all shut up. That blessing from heaven can be turned off. Because of sin, we've got to repent before the Lord. James 5, 14 and 15. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal him who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So that forgiveness often comes hand in hand with the healing. Why am I sick? It's not always because of sin, but sometimes it is. And we need to bring this before the Lord. Lord, am I going through these struggles because there is sin in my life? We cannot be afraid to ask that question. Okay? And sometimes because people go overboard and they judge others who are sick, oh, you must have sinned, you must have done that wrong, you must have done this wrong. Because of that type of judgmental attitude, we go too far to the other side and we say it's never a result of sin. Sometimes it is. We need to repent before the Lord. Lord, where do I have idols in my life? Where have I sinned before you? Where am I not following you? Are these struggles in my life? Is the sickness in my life, whatever it might be, because I'm not fully and wholeheartedly serving you? If so, forgive me. Psalm 32, one of my favorite psalms. Blessed is he whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord doesn't impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence, listen to what the psalmist says here about when he kept silent. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer. Selah. That doesn't sound, that's not a good picture, right? In silence, bones wasting away, groaning all day long, the hand of the Lord heavy upon me. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer. Selah. Okay? But listen to this. I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Right? Just like that. I confessed it. It's gone. I didn't confess it. I kept silent, and my bones are wasting away. I'm groaning day and night. The forgiveness of the Lord steps in to your life when you open up, when you speak, and you confess to the Lord, Lord, I am sorry. I've had idols in my life. I am sorry. I've had the wrong attitudes in my life, been saying the wrong things, thinking the wrong things. Forgive me. Boom, because of his desire to bless, you are forgiven. The Lord delights in showing forgiveness so he can turn on that faucet of blessings again and bless your life. So we need to confess our sins to the Lord. Sometimes, however, the struggles and the sickness are not a result of sin. Okay? John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. As Yeshua passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's a judgmental attitude. That he's blind, there must have been sin, right? Yeshua answered, this man didn't sin, nor did his parents, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, anointed the blind man's eyes with the mud, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He went away, washed, and came back seeing. This man born blind, that the glory of the Lord might be worked in him. And I was at that pool. I was at the pool of Siloam. And it's unfortunately wasn't well kept. It was full of algae and so forth. But just to be there where the blind man had received his sight was so incredible for me that it didn't matter what kind of state the pool was in. I was there where Yeshua worked a miracle, and Yeshua is going to continue to work miracles. But sometimes we have to understand that struggles are not a result of sin. But we need to see, what is the Lord doing? Where are the Lord's blessings in this situation? I knew a family with an autistic daughter. And she was, not extremely severe. Some autistic children can't even communicate. She could communicate, but she was, I think, 20 or something like that, still in high school and very childlike, right? You looked at her and you knew something was a little unusual about her. And her mother came to me and came to our rabbi and was asking for prayer that the Lord might heal her daughter of autism. And our rabbi said, I'm not going to pray that. I don't think the Lord wants to heal her of autism. I think the Lord is showing his glory in her in the midst of her autism. And the Lord was. She had this childlike spirit. We'd have talent shows, and she'd get up and she'd sing in her pure little voice these Disney songs. She blessed us with her childlike spirit. And I've heard wonderful things while I was gone, of Jordan's talk that she gave the congregation. And I'm hoping that I get to hear a recording of that. That despite her muscular dystrophy, she doesn't think the Lord's going to heal her. But she thinks the Lord's going to glorify himself in the midst of that. For somebody of her age, how old is she? 12? What? 11. For an 11-year-old to have that kind of spiritual maturity, to, instead of shaking her fist at the Lord and saying, Lord, why am I dealing with this? To be grateful, Lord, you are being glorified through my disability. Thank you. To have that kind of understanding at that age, the Lord is doing miraculous things in her life, right? And the Lord's going to heal her. It may not be to the world to come, right? The Olam Haba in the resurrection. But the Lord is glorifying himself. And what I would like to challenge us with is making sure that our eyesight is working properly so that we see the Lord's blessings. I would like to turn to Matthew chapter 5. For a second. This is the Beatitudes that we're all very familiar with. And before I read the whole verse, I'm going to do something else. What if somebody came to you and said, you are blessed because you are poor? Okay, in Matthew here it says poor in spirit. In the other Gospels, I think in Luke it says just blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor, okay? You're mourning. You're blessed. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And we have this mindset where that is the exact opposite of being blessed. What do you mean, I'm blessed because I'm persecuted? I'm blessed because I'm poor. I'm blessed because I'm meek. This doesn't seem to be the way it's working here in Roman-dominated society. And if we focus on those things, we will never feel like we are blessed. But Yeshua gives us the second part of those verses to say, this is where you need to look for your blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or blessed are the poor, for those... Can you be poor? Can you be poor and say, I'm blessed because I have the kingdom of heaven, and see that as such a great blessing that being poor doesn't matter?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Been there, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. So, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Can you be in mourning and feel the comfort of the Lord? And say, you know what, I'm blessed. Even though I'm mourning, and I'm mourning over terrible things, maybe the loss of a loved one even, somebody close to you. In the middle of that mourning, can you say, I'm blessed because I receive of the Lord's comfort. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When others are partying and revelry and having a great time, and there you are left out of everything, especially some of you college students or going to be soon college students, and they're off doing their stuff, can you say of yourself, I am blessed because the Lord's helping me maintain my purity while the others are reveling in the flesh. And looks like they're having the good time. Looks like they're the blessed ones. But in the kingdom of God, they are not. You, sitting alone in your dorm room or your apartment or your bedroom and saying, no, I'm going to seek the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when you're standing before the Lord and you're able to stand before him because of your purity, and you say, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. I'm not going to give in to the other stuff. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when you look at world events and you see ISIS slaughtering Christians and Jews, mostly Christians, slaughtering towns of Christian people. Can you look at that and say that the ones being slaughtered are the blessed ones instead of the ones who are doing the slaughtering? They think they're blessed. Look at us. We've got so much power. Look at what our God is doing. And we say, no, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because they are the ones who have the kingdom of heaven. Can you and I change our mindset to see that God is a God of blessing and love, and He wants to bless us above all in the eternal realm more than in the realm that just comes and goes? Amen. Right? Now, God does work healing, and God does bless us. He does bless some people financially, and God does want to make sure your bills are met, and God does want to heal your flesh. But above all, God is going to bless us in the eternal realm. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. And when it looks like the temporal world is falling down around you, you remember that your feet are planted in the kingdom of God, that you are a child of God, that your sins are forgiven, and that He is pouring out love and blessing on you in greater measure than we will ever know until we see Him face to face. We need to be those who understand God as a God of blessing and a God of love. And I know that God wants to bless us individually, bless our families, bless this congregation, and bring us to a place that we can't even imagine. In fact, if we imagined it, we'd probably be wrong, because probably what we imagine is mostly physical, right? The nice, big, beautiful building, and the this and the that, and the full tzedakah box, and so forth and so on. God wants to bless us in a way that we shouldn't even try to imagine. We just repent of our sins, and we say, Lord God, I want You to bless me the way You want to bless me. And are we going to pray for physical healing? Absolutely. We're going to keep praying for people's physical healing. And God's working miracles, right? David, your dad, Phil. Terminal cancer, right? They said he's going to die of this, and he's cancer-free. And that happened twice, right? And Amy Moore, who we prayed for, and her testimony's on our website. Terminal cancer. They said, you're going to die of this. And she didn't. She is cancer free. And so the Lord is going to continue to work those kind of miracles. But even when He doesn't, we are blessed because we are in the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank You because Your love for everyone in this room reaches to the heavens. And there is no sin, no past that can keep us from the love and the blessings of the Lord. And Lord God, first of all, I pray that there be no sin that would keep us from the blessings of the Lord. If there's anything we need to confess, if we've had any idols in our lives, if we've structured our lives to focus in on the job, on the girl, on the whatever it might be, we repent of that. Our lives need to be structured on seeking Your face, Lord God, and on living a life of love in You. Forgive us for our sins. And pour out upon us, Lord, every blessing that You desire to pour out upon us. Let no sin stand in the way of that. And when You pour out Your love and Your blessings, let us see it. Let us rejoice. Let us dance. Let us sing together that the Lord our God loves us and blesses us. And yes, I may not be fully healed of this sickness. And yes, I may not know where the money's coming from to pay the rent. But I am in the kingdom of God. And He's going to provide for me. And He's going to bless me. Because He is a God of love and a God of blessing. And in Yeshua's name we all say, Amen. Amen.